Welcome to another What's Current podcast. We are at, I was going to say Ali Pally then, but not at Ali Pally. We are at, where are we, Frank? Bolton Arena, that's it. And we're at the Elix show. And we're here today, and I'm joined by Frank and I'm joined by John from Napit. And we're going to talk to you a little bit this morning, just before the show starts, about safe isolation. So guys, welcome. Thanks for agreeing to do this. We throw one together last minute, can't we? A podcast, it's all fun. But yeah, the importance of safe isolation, we all know. Part of an electrician's remit, you know, but sometimes gets lost in translation, I think. But just lately, Frank, there's been some good work going on with stakeholders, other organisations. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we've all got together to promote the safe isolation to make sure it's still headed headline topic for electricians and for the trade.
Yeah.
People are aware they must carry out safe isolation whenever they're working on or near live parts.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, like you say, we just felt it was right time to highlight it. And, you know, ultimately, that's because what are we doing at the end of the day? Stopping injury or loss of life, aren't we?
We always want to make sure people go home safely.
Yeah,
People go to work to obviously earn a living, but they want to come home safely and implement the safe procedures to make sure they are safe all the time when they are working. Is what we want to make sure the message gets out to the industry, make sure it happens.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a good campaign that we're doing at the minute. And John, what about from a point of view of, you know, we've all been there, done it, got the T-shirt, been on site. What do you think from an operative point of view and the general electrician work or trainee working on site?
So we're in training, we teach safe isolation on every course we do. We enforce it. We ensure that while they're in our training centres, they carry it out. It's important that they transfer that onto site. The equipment costs next to nothing. The time it takes is seconds. It's just ridiculous to hear that someone doesn't carry out safe isolation, knowing that their equipment is definitely dead and everyone around them is working on a safe installation.
Yeah, what do you think it is with that though? Because it always worries me. Because I, you know, on my time on the tools, I worked for some big organisations where it was drummed into you from safe systems of work, you know, bigger sites. But I think maybe, I don't know if it's towards the smaller end or the sole traders or the smaller organisations involved in maybe domestic world, they don't see it as a something they need to do they? Would that be unfair?
I think partly in domestic, but even in the commercial industry, it's the big and larger jobs. It tends to be down to the pressures of work.
Yeah, that's true.
And people's got to get a job finished, and it's whether it's intentional or not, but the management sometimes push the operative to carry out the work quicker. Mm. And then things get left behind, and safe isolation is seen as sometimes is not as important as it should be.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Actually, I remember times from my own thing where you've got that target pressure driven and you think, oh, I'll just nip up, it'll be okay kind of attitude. But that's no excuse, is it? Because I think, John, we probably, from our training background, we'd heard every excuse under the sun, the tape.
It's ridiculous because it's such a short period of time to do it. And if you've got the kit in your bag or with you in your box, whatever it is, it's seconds to do and seconds to confirm you're definitely working dead. I remember when I was an apprentice and seeing people working supposedly dead but not locked off. And you're going, how do they know? And you heard people touching with the back of their hands and things like that. Just ridiculous.
Crazy stuff, yeah.
When it would take a lot less time to safely isolate than it would to worry about whether it's live.
Yeah.
Yes, I think sometimes as well, and certainly in the industrial commercial world where people are working on sites with lots of other operatives, everyone should have a safe isolation kit. If you're working on electrical equipment and have all the kit together, the proven unit, the voltage detection device, and making sure that works. But what happens is people are on site, they don't tend to bring these things with them because they're afraid someone nicks them or loses them or don't have them available. So that creates problems itself.
I think that's really important. It's the attitude and the understanding why they aren't doing it. But also the kit is massive, isn't it? Because I remember a few years ago, these were probably not cheap items, but like I say, because you've got a lot of, but it's an essential item. And why isn't that part of a like you say, a normal electrician's toolkit? You know, showing one a fear, you know, you've got all your bits and bobs. No, exactly. Yeah. No. It's there forever. Yeah. You know, you'll look after your brand new shiny battery drill, won't you? And your other tools. So why not treat this with the same reverence that you would any other kit?
It's the same. It's part of the PPE, as the electrician said at the round table, with the six steps for safe isolation. Having this kit in safe condition, good condition, make sure it still operates the way it should be, and looked after throughout your working life, or save lives.
Yeah, yeah. And John, obviously, with as being head of training at Napit, this is something that's drummed into every learner, every course you do, you start with that fundamental of safe isolation. And what kind of things do you see when, all right, we've got operatives coming in that have been in the trade for years, maybe doing something like an inspection and testing qualification or renewables. Do you still struggle? Yeah.
It's strange, you can't be ageist and say it's the older end, but some of the older end have not come across this in their lives. They understand it, but they don't understand the principles of where to test and how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
And, you know, those steps, you know, okay, six steps, are just easy to do. It's seconds. You just don't understand why people aren't doing it.
I think, and we've talked about this before, I think what we tend to see is, like, if you're an apprentice or you're a trainee coming through your time in whatever, like as an electrician, say, it's drummed into you in your college days, then you're left into the big wide world and you might pick up them bad habits, maybe from more experienced sparks, shall we say. And then when you go and do training again, it's fed back into you. But other times it's left alone. So maybe there's more onus on companies to stress it a little bit more out in the field, because we, as an organisation, we haven't got that control when what people are doing on site. What's your thoughts on that, Frank?
If you're talking regarding companies, if you're employed by a company, the company should provide this safety kit for you.
Yeah.
And if you're carrying out this work, they should make sure you have the tools to make sure you can work safely.
As a legal requirement. As a
legal requirement for the companies to provide this for you. And if they don't, and you're left on your own to do your work without the proper kit, the contravening electric safety regulations, health and safety will prosecute the company. And if you're working, if you're also working without current safety procedures, they'll prosecute you as well.
Yeah, there's nothing worse. You imagine a deep dive into something going horribly wrong, and you think, oh, well, I was fine, I did my bit. But the investigation will be that thorough. It could be multiple, it could be the company, like you say, the operative themselves. So everybody's accountable in a situation, aren't they? Yeah. What are you going to add to that, John?
I was just going to say, we're talking about all these situations that could occur if something goes wrong, and we're talking about maybe 14 seconds of safe isolation.
Yeah.
So you buy the kit once, it's in your tool bag, it's there safe for use, it doesn't wear out, you just have to change the batteries now and again on your proven unit. That's your lot.
Yeah. Coming back to that one on the kit, and again, thinking back, I sound like a right old person, don't I, when I say, thinking back to my time, but it is true, I remember almost laziness from operatives I saw, where like things like touch sticks, you know, but they're meant to prove live, not prove dead, aren't they? They're a quick kind of, but they would be using that as their safe isolation. But coming back, like you mentioned it already, Frank, proper voltage indicators, a proving unit, you know, the lock off kit itself. These things are just, I don't understand how they're not essential part, but we're still seeing they're not being provided for or purchased.
But we will spend 60, 70 quid on a pair of DeWalt trousers.
DeWalt. I look the part.
We will spend £100 on the makes are
available. Other makes are available, yeah. Other makes are available, yeah. No, yeah, but I get that, yeah.
It's just, it's funny how the stylish electrician should also have the stylish safe isolation kit.
They are available, by the way. You can purchase them today at the show. I should give that a little bit of a plug. Other Macs are available as well, but you know, these are very good. And this was something we just realized in the industry as an organization, didn't we, that we need to do more as well. And I don't think with this subject, like you mentioned at the very beginning, Frank, we all deserve to go home safely. This is one I'll never apologize for when I was in training, to keep just repeat, because you know, at the end of the day, this is a message that needs to get through. And it's been great, really, at the show, because, like you say, Mike Andrews, is you know, chief executive, has been involved, and he's gone out and he's got involved with other organisations to really promote this and boost this forward. But we need the boots on the ground to get it, don't we? That's ultimately where it's going to. Do you think the message is going to get through?
I think it's a message we need to keep providing.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, over the years, people tend to lapse into bad habits. So we need to make sure the message keeps going out constantly, that people have to be safe, work safe, safe isolation, come home safely.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, when I used to do some of the assessments on certain qualifications, that was the fundamental. If they didn't pass the safe isolation, you could almost stop the assessment there, because you're sending that operative back out on site that can't do one of the fundamentals of the trade. Now, if they can't do that right, I'm not really going to trust them to do much else. So I think, yeah, you're quite right.
It's something we emphasise in the assessment of our members.
Yes,
it's got to be proven.
Yeah,
if they can't carry out, they won't get an improvement action.
Yeah, as soon as the assessor saw her go for the roller tape, like nope.
or a voltage detector, or even the old neon screwdriver.
Oh, the neon screwdriver.
Yes, we don't want to use them anyplace.
Oh, my life, yeah. You still see the DIY kind of, I mean, hopefully electricians know not to use those, but the DIYers that are having a go at electrics, that's the favourite tool, isn't it? You know, how are those still sold? I never quite understood that.
They're still out there in all lots of environments where they do. Available for purchase.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're still out there.
Yeah, that's one that we need to just get gone, don't we, completely? But you can buy anything these days, so they're still going to be out there. Yeah, so I think, you know, if we can just keep repeating that message, get those campaigns out there, and people come together to the same message. And I think one of the things as well, obviously, you see a lot of variations in different kind of steps. I've seen flow charts. I remember, again, in training, there's different ones that feed in. But it, like you said, John, it's quite basic, really, isn't it? It doesn't take an awful lot of time, but actually, we don't need big, complicated safe isolation procedures. We just need to get the basics right, don't we? You know, I remember sometimes the turn off, lock off label was almost one step, but you can divide them up. It's all the same thing, but there is a procedure to follow, isn't there? Definitely in that. Yeah, which should be coming up on the screen behind you if you can see that. So yeah, before you begin the work, yeah.
This 12 steps to safe isolation. The electrosafe round table, that's freely downloadable from the website.
Yes. So
it's available for everyone to use and go through the process, following the steps and making sure you carry out safe isolation consistently.
And with that one, Frank, organisations fed into that, didn't they? So it's not like something we've come up with, or, you know, people have said, well, get their heads together and say, what do we feel is people going to understand?
It's a campaign with all the stakeholders within the electrosafe round table. They promote this out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything else to add on that then, guys?
Just learn your safe isolation. If you don't know your safe isolation, get it right, go read up on it, and save yourself getting home in one piece every day.
Frank, what about you? What would be your pick out and big piece of advice for people?
Keep your safe isolation kit safe. It keeps you safe, makes you come home safely.
Yeah, and make sure you've got one in the first place, ultimately. I think the same for me, really. What I would say is, you know, just make sure that when you're out on the tools, you're not taking those shortcuts. You're protecting yourself and you're protecting others as well. In that situations, like you mentioned, Frank, on big jobs, you know, where there might be multiple people working on multiple circuits from different positions, you've got to just have those systems in place and stick to them. The shortcut isn't the easy way, because that's going to just take that one fatality that we don't want in our industry. All right. Thanks for your time today, guys. It's been awesome. We've got a show to
do in it.
Time for the show. So thanks for listening to another What's Current podcast. Hope that was enjoyable, short but sweet, and a bit on the hoof one. But thanks for listening and thanks for watching. Take care.
Okay. Cheers. Thank you.
So I'm joined now with the legend in the industry from Electrical Safety First, Richard and Dave. Good to see you again, guys. All right, yeah, how's the show been so far?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Plenty of footfall.
Yeah, different demographic today in terms of more younger smartphone apprentices, you know, compared to yesterday. But it's been a good traffic all around. Lots of technical questions being asked and inquiries. So yeah, it's really been a really good
one. Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you're doing as regards to safe isolation and this sort of campaign really that we launched between stakeholders and organisations to really pump this forward, really, because we've got together as organisations and talk about the importance of safe isolation. One that just gets missed almost, which seems really weird. Tell us more about what we've got involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got everyone involved collaborating together, pulling together to all push that same message out about the importance of safe isolation. We've come together, you know, we've collaborated with everyone just to get that same message out. And so, you know, we're all pulling in the same direction.
And I think that's important for industry, that they see that organisations come together to say, yeah, look, this is a basic message we need to get out to save lives.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
And Rich, back over to you. What would you see, like, almost not your number one, but your top two? What do you see as the main, maybe, sticking point with the boots on the ground, the electricians that are out there? What's holding them back from doing it?
Excuses.
Oh, the excuses.
Nice enough. You know, we've delivered a seminar here looking at some of the common excuses that are spouted around industry. You know, I've been on site the same as yourself, and Dave, for a number of years. It's only me on my own. Can't be bothered. I'm substantially fine. You know, it's just nonsense. It's excuses. And I think we've got to go back to basics and remind people of their obligations under the Health and Safety Work Act and regulations that specifically talk about having your equipment, your training experience, locking off security, labels, warning notices, and all that stuff. It ain't difficult, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
And now, with the amount of free information that's available in terms of videos, publications, guides, etc., and the equipment's readily
guides.
It's not expensive, but it's just a bit of laziness. It seems the younger generation, the younger sparks are up to it, because I've done it recently in college or whatever, and it's drummed into them. The problem seems to be with the older generation. We've just got to try and change attitudes. And between us, all joining together in a collaboration, it sends a powerful message out there. It's not what they can think, it's not what the NIC can think, it's not what the IT or ourselves. It's all of us actually, look, these injuries and deaths, it ain't good. Those are only the ones that we know about that have been reported. Is there a bit of laziness around? What's all right? We've got the BDE screwdriver, so we're still doing it live.
The dreaded light screwdriver.
Until you blow a big hole in your pliers. You've got to change attitude.
I think it is an attitude thing. What about you, Dad? What do you see as maybe the number one thing where it's just lacking a bit?
It's just people. Going back to the excuse of people saying they haven't got time to do it. Just the kit's freely available. It should be the same as putting your boots on.
Yeah.
It should be a regular thing that everyone does every day.
If you think of it more of a PPE than at all, it's changed, like you said, originally changed that mindset.
Sure.
Because, like you said, the dreaded screwdriver, the Volt stick that they're using to test when we know that's only, that's not to test bed. So it's having those, that voltage indicator to GS38, proving unit lock off kits. They're looking for it, like you would your expensive drill.
And that's why I asked you. I've got these fancy toolkits, and I've got the whole Milwaukee toolpack. It's got the latest bandsaw in it. So, it's a basic tool with pliers and your screwdrivers. It's in there with a little isolation kit. The AVI is improving the fit in.
What other kit would save your life?
Exactly. We all want to go home at night, don't we?
But it's the consequences that people don't think about. If you're working with someone, it's having a day of work together, you become a bit complacent. At the end of the day, Dave's working against it, turn it off. It's all right, Dave, don't worry about it. I walk away on my phone, go outside, and he switches it on.
And
Dave's dead, and I've got to live with that. I'm not trying to tell his family, it's not just that. Or that you killed somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not just about you.
I think that's a key takeaway from me from this conversation. It's a mindset. It's changing those attitudes, and maybe it is that generation says, "Oh, we've always done it like this." And I think also for me, we've been involved in training for a number of years. It's not just at that point of training as a trainee or into CPD. It's got to be continuous. And employers getting involved and saying, as part of their induction, are you doing this every day and checking on them? Our assessors will. I'm sure other assessments, will be carried out. Show me how to safe isolate before you do anything else. And go back to basics.
Definitely, and don't be afraid if you're a little bit rusty on it. There's so much free guidance out there. There's stuff from themselves in. I see us.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, producing a couple of new videos as well. Even for three-phase, you might want to do that. Because you might not have worked on a three-phase system for a while. You've got to think about, your renewables now, and you may have more than one point of isolation. There's so many considerations you've got to think about. Fundamentally, go back to basics.
Anything else from you, though?
No, that's it.
Just to show off that, because this is a really good free guide. These guys do a lot of great work in the industry, but for safe isolation,
that's the key there. Yeah. You can see
all the people that were involved on there. So it's not just some mad idea that sprung out of someone's head. It's all been painstakingly put together by people in the industry.
Exactly. And it's free, obviously.
And it's free. Yeah. All right, thanks for that, guys.
Brilliant.
Thanks a lot to you again. Good to see you again. Oh, thanks, guys. Hopefully that's been useful, and I'll see you on the next one.
Cheers.
Welcome back again, and this time I've come down to CK, the world famous, the legend that is Mark Allison. And actually, what is really important stuff going on in the industry at the moment, because there's a lot of collaboration around safe isolation, as you can see behind us. Tell us a little bit about how that came together, Mark, and how that birthed and stakeholders involved.
Yeah, so there's a pool of industry all coming together from you guys and the colleagues and brands in the industry, and the form from Perkins and Internet at TIS. And all of this, they're building the Superrod service, so they do these surveys every so often, and the data inside those is quite scary.
For you, Mark, obviously being an installer and sort of one of the key figures in that social media, what do you see as the biggest sort of Why aren't people doing it? It seems something like really basic, but why aren't people doing it? What do you think feels out there in the industry?
It's definitely a mindset and attitudes thing. People my age upwards. So a lot of the younger people coming into it can get really good training, they're aware of all this, they do seem to want to do it. Team is kind of this fire the world of installers that they think they're immune from a big shock,
sorry,
I guess.
Yeah. It's not going to happen to me.
It used to be like the bravado throughout the site. So there's elements of that for sure, and then just an education and awareness aspect as well. So we've been out filling in this survey on the stand, and I'm surprised how many people don't know about best practices guide too, don't know about the ESR guide. So it's getting some awareness of all those processes and principles out into the installer, but I think certainly of older electricians who didn't have this belief training. When I was first starting in the 90s, it was this electrical tape. Exactly that. And yeah. It's only really recent time that training really has kicked up.
I think you're right. I think from my time on the tools, I'm over an older generation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, like the excuses of a tape seems fine. But if you're working on a big industrial commercial site, there's multiple people working on parts of the installation, you don't know that's still isolated. You know, that happens to me, happened to friends of mine, where the pair of pliers got blown up on the side cutters, and it is a mindset, I think, right? But the biggest thing for me, you've got loads of fantastic kits here. This should be part of an everyday electrician's toolkit, almost treat it like your hard hat or your boots. Would you agree with that as well?
Absolutely, and there's a lot of employees out there who don't have access to this stuff. That's one of the things I've seen through this here as well. So they're not provided with the equipment to carry out some isolation.
Yeah.
The guys at ESF have had on their presentation as well that pushed today, so it just seems to be a problem that they're not providing the stuff they need to work.
That's interesting because that's created a bit of a theme, isn't it? And the employer and the employee have got a responsibility under the Health and Safety of Work Act, under the Electricity and Work Regulations, to comply with this stuff. They're breaking the law, really, aren't they? Don't give someone a neon screwdriver or a bolt stick and say you're good to go. You know, get equipment like breathing units, like voltage indicators to GS38. It's basic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, with the change in the way we use electrical systems as well, with DC generation and all the talk around diverting neutral currents, the whole expansion of kit you need, direct contact voltage indicators as well, you might want to put into those kits. So it's awareness and things that you guys want to get involved behind this campaign, the NIC, the IET, the ECA, sharing that message with those membership bases, I think is really powerful.
Yeah.
So it is a really good initiative that I'm proud to play a small part in, and it's fantastic to have you guys in the spot as well.
It's brilliant to be working with you because, like I say, this is such an important issue. In my training days, I never made no apology for repeat. You can't just be in training. It can't be just when you sit a CPD course. It's got to be employer led in a way, or like people taking personal responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah, I mean, this case study is an example. Even just this week, from the Health and Safety Executive, is the article on electrician. So this stuff's happening. 13 deaths, another 200 serious injuries by people are off work. People are off work for over 6 months. Yeah. I mean, maybe not a big look now. That's a lot of people having that shameful as an industry.
Yeah. I think you're right. Anything else you'd like to add, Mark? Anything that's like, you know, you want to see? Just keep pushing forward with this, get involved.
I mean, that's it. We've had great support from the election here. We've got installers from the board, which we're also trying to reach into other industries and sectors. Yes. Again, the group has been around solar systems, plumbers, heating energy as well. And this is a message beyond just our industry.
Yeah.
So trying to get that out there. There's the same ice and the hashtag that we're all behind now. And yeah, I think it's something that we can swap towards improving and hopefully measure and see that improvement as well.
That's brilliant, Mark. Thanks ever so much, mate. Good to see you again.
Yep,
enjoy the rest of the show. Although it's probably coming to a close now, so we can get to go home.
That's it.
So thanks for listening to another What's Current podcast by Napier. But this is a joint venture one we're doing with all the people that Mark mentioned to really put out the safe isolation. So see you on the next one.